Chapter 11. Just Before Dawn. By the light of a single lamp and the low fire on her narrow hearth, Moiraine dressed herself carefully, making an effort to stifle her yawns. It needed effort. A night of contemplation meant a night of no sleep. Her eyes were grainy, her limbs leaden. Well, sleep would have been beyond her in any case, simply because of what lay ahead this morning. Oh, why had she not argued Swan out of that mad prank? It was a question she had asked herself often during the night, and as foolish this time as the first. She rarely won arguments with Swan. If only Swan were with her now. Contemplating the burdens and duties of an Aes Sedai turned inevitably to the task Moiraine meant to take up, and the scale of that search had loomed larger and larger as the night went on, until it reared before her like unscalable Dragon Mount itself. Company would have helped. But the ritual was explicit. Each must be alone when they came for her. Missteps now brought no penalties beyond embarrassment, and likely a reputation as flighty dunces that they might never shake off. Of course, they might already have achieved the reputation, yet it had seemed best to be beyond reproach as far as they could. Once dressed, she laid out her few belongings on the bed, but except for a change of shift and stockings, she left the remaining garments in the wardrobe. They would be washed and put away against a novice gaining the ring who could wear them. None among those currently in white would be able to wear those dresses without huge alterations, anyway, but no matter. The White Tower was patient. The little book was snug in her belt pouch, the safest place she could think of. She had just put her small rosewood box on the bed, containing the few pieces of jewelry she had brought with her to the tower, when a knock came at the door, three firm raps. She jumped at the noise, and her heart fluttered. Suddenly she was almost as nervous as before the test. It was very hard not to run to answer. Instead, she checked her hair carefully in the mirror on the washstand, used her hairbrush to tame a few strands that really did not need taming, laid the brush on the bed, and only then went to the door. Seven sisters awaited her in the night, one from each Aja, all wearing their vine-covered shawls over silks or fine woolens, their faces ageless masks. So the ritual required. Elida was the red, but Moiraine managed to meet the woman's stern gaze levelly, her features smooth. Well, as smooth as she could make them. Another hour or just a little more, and they would be equals, at least to some degree. Never again would Elida be able to make her quail. Without a word, she stepped outside, closing the door behind her for the last time, and wordlessly they formed a ring around her, escorting her along the dark gallery to Swan's door. Silence was required. Jiayne, a slim, copper-skinned Damani, knocked three times, the green fringe of her shawl swaying. Swan opened the door so quickly she must have been waiting on her toes for the third knock. The ring of sisters parted to let her in, and her eyebrow twitched at the sight of Elida, but at least she did not grimace, the light be thanked. Moiraine clenched her jaw to suppress a yawn. She would finish without breaking the proprieties. With the soft brush of their slippers on floor tiles, they passed along corridors of the tower where nothing moved save themselves and the flames flickering atop the stand lamps. Moiraine was surprised not to see any servants. Much of their work was done in the hours before the sisters rose or after they retired for the night. In silence, they climbed down into the levels beneath the tower, along well-lighted passages, and past dark. The doors to the chamber where she and Swan had been tested stood open wide, but there in the corridor they all stopped, the ring of Aes Sedai breaking apart to form a line behind the two of them as they turned to face the gaping doorway.
"Who comes here?"
Tamra's voice demanded from within. "Moiraine Damodred," Moiraine answered clearly, and if her face remained smooth, her heart fluttered, with joy this time. Swan spoke her own name at the same instant, defiance touching her tone, if only lightly. She insisted that Elida would still find some way to rob them of the shawl, if she could. Their teachers had never brought up the matter of precedence. Perhaps they had never expected the two of them to march this far in complete lockstep, but Moiraine heard someone's breath catch behind her, and when Tamra spoke again,
It was after a pause so slight that she might have imagined it. "For what reason do you come?" "To swear the three oaths and thereby claim the shawl of an Aes Sedai," they answered together. "Breach of the proprieties or not, they intended to do everything together this morning, insofar as possible." "By what right do you claim this burden?" "By right of having made the passage, submitting myself to the will of the White Tower." "Then enter if you dare, and bind yourself to the White Tower." Hand in hand they entered, together, a smooth face and a steady tread, neither hurrying nor lagging back. The will of the tower awaited them in the flesh. Tamra, in pale brocaded blue with the Ammerlin's striped stole around her neck, stood framed by the oval Turangrial, its colors slowly shifting through silver and gold, blue and green, with Aeldra at her side in a darker shade of blue, holding a black velvet cushion in both hands. Along the circular wall stood the shawl-draped sitters in the hall of the tower, grouped by Aja, and in front of each three sitters, two more sisters of that Aja, shawled and each with another shawl folded over one arm. Expressionless eyes watched Swan and Moiraine cross the floor. The Turangrial presented the first problem to their plan. The tall oval was too narrow for both to pass through at once, not without squeezing together, and that hardly conformed to the required dignity. This was one argument Moiraine had won. Swan gave her a look. It seemed impossible those blue eyes could turn sharp without altering her smooth expression, yet they did, and gathering her skirts, stepped through with Moiraine following behind. Side by side they knelt in front of the Ammerlin seat. From the velvet cushion Aeldra held, Tamra took the oath rod, a smooth ivory-white cylinder a foot long and only slightly thicker than Moiraine's wrist. A Turangrial, the oath rod would bind them to the three oaths and thus to the tower. For an instant Tamra hesitated, as though uncertain which of them to bind first, but only for an instant. Moiraine promptly raised her hands in front of her, palms upward, and Tamra placed the rod there. This was the price Swan had exacted, a favor to be granted, for Moiraine's yielding precedence through the oval. Needless to say, she had not revealed her favor until Moiraine accepted. She would become Aes Sedai first by minutes. It was so unfair. But there was no time for thinking of how she should have known Swan was up to something when she gave in so easily. The glow of Saidar surrounded Tamra, and she touched the oath rod with a thin flow of spirit. Moiraine closed her hands around the rod. It felt like glass, only somehow smoother. "Under the light and by my hope of salvation and rebirth, I vow that I will speak no word that is not true." The oath settled on her, and suddenly the air seemed to press harder against her skin. Red is white, she thought. Up is down. She could still think a lie, but her tongue would not work to utter it now. "Under the light and by my hope of salvation and rebirth, I vow that I will make no weapon for one man to kill another." The pressure grew abruptly. It felt as though she had been sewn into an invisible garment, much too tight, that molded her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. To her chagrin, sweat popped out on her forehead, yet she managed to keep her face calm. "Under the light and by my hope of salvation and rebirth, I vow that I will never use the One Power as a weapon except against Shadow Spawn, or in the last extreme of defending my life or that of my warder or another sister." That garment shrank to still greater snugness, and she breathed heavily through her nose, clamping her jaws to keep it from becoming a gasp. Invisible and utterly flexible, yet oh, so tight. This feeling that her flesh was being compressed would fade, but not entirely for a whole year. Light. She wondered how Elida had enjoyed taking that last oath, with its mention of warders. The three oaths remained unchanged, whatever Aja you intended to join. Thinking of that helped a little. "It is half done," the Ammerlin intoned, "and the White Tower is graven on your bones." But she did not complete the ceremony. Instead, she took the rod and placed it in Swan's hands. Moiraine fought down a smile. She could have kissed Tamra. There was no sweating or gasping from Swan. She rendered the oaths in a clear, strong voice, never so much as blinking as each settled on to her. No physical hardship could faze Swan, who had never wept until after Elida was gone, had never shed a tear until they left Marian's study. Swan had the heart of a lion. "It is half done, and the White Tower is graven on your bones," Tamra said, replacing the oath rod on Aeldra's cushion. "Rise now, Aes Sedai, and choose your Aja, and all will be done that may be done under the light." However much equanimity Swan had shown swearing the oaths, she moved no less stiffly than Moiraine as they rose and curtsied formally to Tamra, bending to kiss her great serpent ring. Together they walked toward the Blue Sisters, slowly, with as much grace as they could muster, and not holding hands. That would never have done, not now. Like any accepted, they had often discussed which Aja they might enter, arguing merits and faults as though they knew more than the surface, yet for the last year or more, those discussions had been merely to prove a choice already made. The Blue sought to right wrongs, which was not always the same as seeking justice, like Greens and Greys. "Seekers after causes," Varen had called Blues, and the capitals were there to be heard in her voice. Moiraine could not imagine belonging elsewhere. Swan was smiling, which she should not have done, but then so was she herself, she realized, and she could not make it go away. Once their direction became clear, the sisters from other Ajahs began making their courtesies to the Amyrlin and departing, first the yellows, then the greens, gliding from the chamber with their sitters leading the way in regal procession. The browns left, and then the whites. What set the order, Moiraine did not know, but once the reds were gone, the last, Tamra glided from the chamber after them. What passed here now was for the Blue alone. Aeldra remained to watch. The three remaining sitters gathered around as copper-skinned Lyanna, willowy and as tall as most men, bent to lay the blue-fringed shawl around Moiraine's shoulders, and Raffaella, slim, dark, and pretty, performed the same office for Swan. Neither had the ageless face yet, but they wore dignity like cloaks. The sitters were dignity incarnate. Stout Edith, with white hair spilling to her waist, kissed Swan lightly on both cheeks and then Moiraine, each time murmuring, "Welcome home, sister. We have waited long for you." Anne Lee, grave-faced and graying in green-slashed blue, and almost as many rings and necklaces as Gitara had worn, repeated the kisses and the words, and then Lilaine, whose solemn expression broke into a smile as she spoke. Lilaine became a great beauty when she smiled. "Welcome home, sister," Lyanna said, bending once more to kiss Moiraine. "We have waited long for you." Aeldra also kissed their cheeks and spoke words, then surprisingly added, "You each owe me a pie made with your own hands. It's customary among us for the sixth sister who gives you the welcome kiss." Moiraine blinked and exchanged glances with Swan. Was the ceremony done so abruptly? A pie? She doubted Aeldra would be able to eat hers. She had never cooked anything in her life. Edith clicked her tongue and adjusted her shawl along her arms. "Really, Aeldra," she said firmly, "just because these two have chosen to step beyond the bounds in so many ways is no reason for you to forget your dignity. Now." Long blue silk fringe swung as she raised her hands. "I charge you, Lyanna Sheriff, escort Moiraine Domodred that the White Tower may see that a blue sister has come home. I charge you, Raffaella Sindal, escort Swan Sanche, that the White Tower may see that a blue sister has come home." Gathering Aeldra, Edith led the other sitters from the chamber, but it seemed the rest of them were not entirely done. "Custom is a precious thing that should not be allowed to wither," Raffaella said, eyeing Swan and her each in turn. "Will you proceed to the Blue Aja quarters, clad in the light as ancient custom required?" Swan clutched at her shawl as though she never meant to remove it, and Raffaella added hastily, "And in your shawl, of course, to show that you need no protection beyond the light and the shawl of an Aes Sedai." Moiraine realized she was clutching her own shawl in identical fashion and made her hands relax, stroking the silk softly with her fingers. The three oaths had made her Aes Sedai, yet she had not felt Aes Sedai until the shawl was put onto her shoulders. But if she was required to go out in public wearing nothing else, oh, light! Now her face was turning hot. She had never seen an Aes Sedai blush. "Oh, do give over, Rafaela," Lyanna said with a quick reassuring smile shared between Moiraine and Swan. She had been accepted with them for a time, and by the warmth of that smile it seemed their friendship might be taking up where it had left off. 1,000 years ago women came to be raised clad in the white and left the same way. Everyone here would have been. But the only part of that custom left is keeping the hallways clear until you reach the Aja's quarters, she explained briskly. Lyanna did everything briskly. I doubt anyone but a few Browns even remembers the custom. Rafaela is half mad with trying to bring back dead customs. Don't deny it, Rafaela. Remember the apple blossoms? Even the Greens don't remember what battle that was supposed to commemorate. Strangely, though Rafaela had reached the shawl a year before Lyanna, she only sighed. Customs should not be forgotten, she said, but without any force. Lyanna shook her head. Come along. I know you must want your breakfast, but that has to wait on a few things, including this walk, which will not include all of the public corridors, she added, cocking an eyebrow at Rafaela. Nor will we stop at each Aja's quarters calling for them to come out and see a sister of the blue. Shaking her head, she herded them through the doors, channeling briefly to swing them shut. I've never been so embarrassed in my life. You should have been the one blushing, Rafaela. Varen told us she had such a sweet voice she should take up singing. One red came out to tell us to stop caterwauling and go away. And the greens. Some greens have a rough sense of humor. Whether or not Rafaela had blushed then, color tinged her cheeks faintly now. How rough had those greens' sense of humor been, Moiraine wondered. At least Rafaela's blushes made her stop worrying about her own. Of course, the sisters would present a different face to each other than they did to those who did not wear the shawl, which she did now. It made her feel inches taller, even if Lyanna did tower head and shoulders above her. The other woman had shortened her stride, yet Moiraine still had to trot to keep up as they climbed back up through the basements to tower corridors empty of life, save for them. The hallways were seldom crowded, but the absence of people made them seem cavernous. Imagining the tower completely empty became all too easy. It would be one day, if matters continued as they were. "Is the ceremony done with this walk?" she asked. "The blue Aja part, I mean. May we ask questions?" She supposed she should have asked that first, but she wanted the sound of voices to chase away ill thoughts. "Not completely done," Lyanna replied, "but you can ask whatever you like. Some questions, though, can't be answered till you've met the first selector, the head of our Aja." "You must never reveal that title," Rafaela put in quickly. Moiraine nodded, though she already knew that. Accepted were taught that every Aja had secrets, as Rafaela had to be aware. More than one sister had told Moiraine that she would have almost as much to learn once she gained the shawl as before. She intended to step very carefully until she learned more. "I have a question," Swan said with a frown. "Are there many customs like this pie? I can cook, but my eldest sister did all the baking." "Oh, yes," Rafaela said happily, and she regaled them with arcane customs while they walked along the tower's first level, some as silly as wearing blue stockings when leaving Tar Valon, some as sensible as refraining from marriage. Aes Sedai did marry now and then, but Moiraine could not see how that could end other than poorly. The torrent of information continued as they climbed one of the spiraling hallways, only stopping when they reached the plain, polished doors that led into the blue quarters. "You can hear the others later," Rafaela said, shifting her shawl down to her arms. "Be sure to learn them all quickly. Some are enforced as strictly as tower law. I think they all should be, but at least some are." "Give over, Rafaela," Lyanna said, and she and the dark sister each took a brass door handle and pushed one of the doors open. They had not channeled. Perhaps that was another custom. Riding would be uncomfortable for a few days, and she intended using the time until she could leave the city to memorize those customs, at least those that were enforced. She was not about to have the beginning of her search delayed by something as ridiculous as not wearing all blue on the first day of the month. Light. Surely they did not enforce that one. Safer to be sure, though. She and Swan stepped through the doorway and stopped in surprise. The blue was the second smallest Aja, after the white, but every blue sister currently in Tarvalen was lining the main corridor, all save Aeldra formally wrapped in their shawls.